mañana. El podcast de la raza.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode, the 2020 edition, man. It's the Twanky Twanky. It's your boy Chingo Bling. We have Mighty Soul in the building.
I think I should be the button that does that every time.
We'll get a button just for you so you can push it anytime you want.
And if you guys want us to have a button with sound effects, we're going to tell you how you, a few select people, can participate in a very important thing we want to launch. We have producer Rob in the building.
Hello, everybody. Happy 2020.
And we hope everybody had a happy new year, man. A lot of people have...
Happy new year, everyone.
A lot of people have goals and resolutions and all that, but we're trying to put systems in place. It's not about the goals. It's about the systems you put in place. Si o no?
Si o no? Yeah, absolutely.
Si o no, Raza?
What do you exactly do? So, for example, I mean, I get it. It makes total sense, right? But... Oh, by the way, I started reading the book from the guy that was on Casey Neistat. Was this guy?
Jocko Willink? Which book?
Oh, yeah, Jocko.
The one you have in the restroom?
Yeah, Discipline Equals Freedom.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's not nothing that
it's
you should
It's like stop
know.
Being a little bitch,
basically. Which is funny.
Don't eat sugar, do push-ups.
Let me tell you something. Wake this is really random. I know it's a really random way to start, but speaking of goals and stuff like that, because if you haven't watched my latest vlog or mukbang, please go to my YouTube channel to watch. Anyhow, I talk about how I'm going to compete this year. So I'm going to go do a bodybuilding competition. Mm-hmm. And what I was getting at is when I was reading that, I was thinking to myself, I was like, damn, girl, you used to be hella disciplined.
Right now it's holidays, so I think everybody's discipline has gone out the window. Don't mean to interrupt, so finish your story, and then I'm going to tell you what I was going to say.
And I just, as I was reading the book, I was like, oh my God, all these days, I've just been letting that other thing win.
Holidays.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not me. Before,
the resistance.
Bro, I sat through a vacation. We went to San Antonio 1 year. His sisters, your mom, everyone. We were in a steakhouse, okay? I have a picture. I legit pull out my little freaking container of food while everybody else is eating amazing. And I never forget your mom said like, wow, I don't know how you do that. She's like, there's, you know, where do you find? I was like, yeah, I don't know how I do it either. But you're in a zone. You're mentally like focused, you know, and it's like it feels so good to know that you beat that. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at your little design right here. You're trying to read cursive.
Something they don't teach anymore.
Yeah, they don't teach that anymore. You know, and so I just thought about like, I lost that discipline. And obviously, I was, even when I was pregnant, you never really saw me like indulge. Like I never like was someone who was like, oh, I'm eating for two.
I was the one with all the cravings. Yeah.
So I was never that person, even when I was pregnant, right? Even after I had Penny, I still like, I wasn't as strict, but I obviously still don't sit there and be like, shit, I'm having a donut today. You know, fries later on just because I'm pregnant. It was never like that for me. So funny thing is like, I just need to get back on that straight discipline where cardio was priority. It wasn't like, nah, might go today. That's an off day. Fuck it. I'm not going. So.
Well, it's all about carving. We're watching this Casey Neistat thing last night. I think he just put it up and he had Jocko Willink on there. You know, because I'm doing research on vlogging and shit like that. And props to Casey with his fucking masterful editing, and that shit just inspired me. So I'm like, man, I don't give a fuck, this shit don't make no money, I'm just gonna the editing gonna speak for itself, motherfuckers gonna be like, man, that's my favorite editor. Anyway, so we're watching Casey Neistat and he's breaking down how he moves hours around. He's like, look, from 10, what did he say, from 9 to 11 or 10 to midnight, whatever, those are going to be Netflix and chill hours, like kind of wasted unproductive time. He's like, instead I'm gonna go ahead and put some sleep right there. That way I can go ahead and wake up at 4:40 or whatever and crank out 2 hours of actual like hardcore work when nobody's calling, bugging, nobody else is even awake in his house.
There's no people on social media really at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Well, even like his kid. So he says by the time I think the baby wakes up at 7, he's like, then we all have breakfast. I done had 2 hours of uninterrupted productive time. And then he goes on to do about 55 other fucking things, right? Like a madman. But that's one thing, you know, that's one of my New Year's things. It's like, how can you be more efficient? How, you know, look at inefficiencies in your system and what systems can you put in place? What things are you going to do less of so you can make more time for the other shit that's going to make sense?
Now, going back to that, right? I was wondering, like, not trying to be dirty or anything. But when does he have time to have like sex with his wife?
He probably tells his wife, look, just fall asleep with your booty in there.
Because then after that, he goes to work out in the evenings. He hits the gym. Well,
he
remember?
Hits two workouts. He jog. Okay.
His so jog he has is breakfast a must. He says morning. He never skips his jog. That's like where he, I guess, regroups. Clears his mind. Gets his, yeah, it's yeah. his alone time.
So that's a bad motherfucker, man. He done, like, he already got 2 hours of work in, had quality time with the fam, and then after that took off for, plus he brings in a lot of bread. So he's probably like, this is what the fuck I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody tell me shit. Cause yeah. she brings in money too, right?
Yeah. So, she has a jewelry company.
And they live in New York, so they really ain't got time.
No, they just moved to Venice Beach.
Ooh.
That's because
that's where, Snapchat is
because of the fact that they have absolutely no fan. This is how much of a Casey Neistat fan I am. They have no family in New York, but they have a bunch of family in L.A. I think she has a sister. But she's from Texas. The wife is originally Houston. From Texas. Right. Yeah, and so they now live in California. So gotcha. she wanted to be close to them. Funny thing, I watched this last vlog that he did. They came in for a day. They just came in to handle some business in New York, and they were leaving the exact same day. I mean, the next day. And crazy thing was that they were having lunch, and so Casey asks the wife, she's like, so do you miss it? He's like, would you want to come back? And she's like, and she just like kind of has this like crying face, like, yes. And then he's like, what, Candace, like, don't say that. Because for him, he did it because he never wanted to leave New York. He did it because, well, my wife. He's like,
this is the perfect backdrop for all of my fucking videos.
Yeah. And so, like, I haven't really checked out his videos since the ones that he's done in LA when he's been in California yet, because I just started catching up again. But what I'm getting at is this. So I watch a lot of moms, like other moms that are on YouTube, right? Which I've watched like mom routines, and they too wake up at least an hour before their baby wakes up. And that's where they get their little alone time, whether it be that they read, some answer emails. If they're selling merch, if there's somebody that sells merch, cause they're stay at home moms, they're prepping their merch stuff during that time before the baby wakes up. And now it's, you know, a chaotic day after the baby gets up. I don't know how many times I've written it on my to-do list that I'm going to wake up at least an hour before Penny gets up. The alarm goes off. I look at Penny and I'm like, it's so I hate it. I need to find a way to make our room not so cozy because it's dark and our covers are like to be on us. It just feels so good in our room. Mm-hmm. I just like, fuck, man, I don't know if I want to get up. This, you know, just laying here feels good, you know? So I want to make it a point that I do wake up at least an hour or two before Penny gets up, whether it is like because it's hard for us to really have alone time, and it ends up being the last 2 hours of the night. Penny falls asleep about 10.
And that's what I was going to say is, if you want to wake up early, it's how strict you are with your night routine, because mm-hmm. they go hand in hand. So No, let's watch another episode. Okay, cool. Well, all right. Don't be mad when we tired at the gym.
Yeah.
You know, so on and so forth. So we shall see how strict we could get. And like when we were going through this New Year's, you know, time and trying to look at 2020 and see what changes we wanted to make, you know, this studio, I said we have all these goals and we talk a good game. I said part of what's going to dictate whether or not we hit these goals is if we could be decisive and like put some of this stuff in storage and how well we can turn this into an actual production studio, not like storage / you know, so on.
Yeah.
But if you know, if you are one of the loyal listeners, we're going to tell you some details, you know, something that a select few can really, really help be a part of and participate. We have a lot of ideas on more things we want to do. If you're not familiar with Patreon is like a platform where creators like us can set up shop and allow the loyal fans, if they like what we're making, they want us to make more of it, and they want maybe like early access, bonus content. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I have a whole bunch of ideas. We actually have like three scripts. Well, four. We have a feature film, which is a full-length movie written and done. Them hoes are expensive to make. It costs a lot of money, especially if you're going to put it up on YouTube and Instagram and everywhere for free.
Right.
Then it's like, damn, son, you done spent $5,000 a day producing this thing, and then you giving it away because that's just the way things are these days. Everything's free.
But rewind a little bit. You did kind of do something like that, guys, if y'all remember, which you were a part of. You weren't like the sole director, but it was Masa and the Power.
Yeah, Masa and the Power was had a Kickstarter behind it for season two, and a whole bunch of people participated. Patreon's a little bit different. Like, for example, what if this episode cuts off at 30 minutes for all the free people? And then all the folks that are
patrons.
Yeah, our patrons, like, help and produce it. They get the full shebang. I mean, there's all kind of ways we can do it. But we definitely want to give an opportunity to those that, you know, because we see the comments, people that they want more. I want you to do two episodes a week. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when are y'all going to do one of these or what have you? And I think Patreon is a good way to make it happen.
Yeah, and you build that community there. So people that are patrons also will have another social platform, basically, where they can go and interact with not only themselves, but also with you as part of the different tiers of where they get access to, an early access to, or a one-on-one. No, it's a one-on-one per se, but that's something that could be in the works if enough patrons get involved.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of the podcast, please let us know, because we need feedback. You know what I'm saying? We need to figure out, like, you know, hey, it's 2020. It's a new year. Are we still doing this?
I also feel like that's the way to go. Babe, whenever you make the little mini series.
Well, that was another thing when I mentioned we have four scripts.
Yeah, you said four things. So
check it out. So one of those scripts is a full-length feature film, which would be impossible to make if you're going to be giving it away for free. There's just no way. The other three are three episodes of maybe like an eight-episode series. So this is a whole... I'll just give you the quick pitch on it. It's basically like me and my family, if comedy and music hadn't done well for me. It's basically like a dude that makes beats on the side. So I'm kind of like a producer in the show, but I have to Uber and things like that.
And that's what the script's about, baby.
In the script. It's a short. These would be like short episodes, right? So in the script, I would, you know, I forget what my name. I think it's like DJ Biz and something else,
which was
my DJ name.
Callback,
yeah. So it's almost like there was a split in the road where I decided to throw on a cowboy hat and do some parodies, and it worked for me. This is an example of if it hadn't really worked, and I was just making beats in the garage, and I had to Uber Eats and Uber and stuff on the side, and my wife brought in all the money, and it's a hilarious script. Javi Luna, I co-wrote episode one, and he wrote episode two and three, and we sat down together, made a whole outline. This is the type of stuff that that we can make if, you know, we have patrons. I know it sounds like a telethon, like,
yeah,
you know, people are needing canned goods right now. You know, call in right now. Rob is standing by. He's
I am standing by.
Yeah, but a lot of podcasters and
content creators in general.
Yeah, you familiar with Scott Adams?
I thought that sounds familiar. I think you've mentioned
Scott Adams is the creator of Dilbert.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. And he started doing these Periscopes on Twitter, right? Big following, blew up. And then he started putting those on YouTube, which, as you know, if you're not talking about something specific or it's not to the liking of advertising dollars, then just kind of like this, like, right. I'm talking about a lot of random stuff. This video may not pull up in the first page searches because that's the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Scott Adams started putting those, his Periscope, it's a Coffee with Scott Adams. They start going on YouTube. Well, they start getting demonetized and it's not really going anywhere. Well, he has a Patreon too for all the people that he's helping share information and ideas. They could back him up. Rhonda Patrick as well has a Patreon. So if you're familiar with it, we just planted a seed. Maybe you can research it and see who else is on there. But that's one of the things we're thinking about. Otherwise, we could get a whole bunch of sponsors for the podcast, and then you got to fast forward through commercials.
Yeah,
so it's on thing. You, player.
Keeping it free. Keeping it ad-free.
Yeah, and keeping it ad-free.
And the only thing that you advertise on here would be things that you're making. That's the idea. You're advertising your products, your services, your content, your scripts, all that, like, versus outsourcing that.
Like Scott Adams, I really don't see him reading Casper Mattresses.
Right.
Just the nature of his show and how he is. It has to be all Patreon for him. I don't see
it's
him.
Not even putting a bug in listeners' ears. It's already on chinglebling.com. So just go to chinglebling.com, click on Patreon, and you'll go right
boom,
to
boom, that's how fast he did it.
Yeah.
chinglebling.com/Patreon. That's P-A-T.
But is there a link?
There is a link, yeah. Just go to chinglebling.com. It's the third tab. Click it. It'll take you straight to the page. You'll see the goals, the tiers, and things we want to do.
Yeah, and things
sorry,
we want.
I just think about the people that are like me.
I know.
I'm like, I don't give
thing.
A shit about the backslash. Just tell me the regular website.
I was going to spell it out. But I think it'll have features on there that things that can get unlocked. Like, for instance, people can vote. Like, if they're like, nah, we want a Theo Juventino solo podcast in Spanish. But then some people might be like, I don't speak Spanish. I'd rather see a web series. Well, you have the power of instructing us and guiding us as to what the hell you want.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to tell you what I think you need to start over again, okay, babe? I know a while back, many years ago, your website was pretty live, right? Mm-hmm. Where you actually had like a forum of
chat room
and stuff.
Message board.
And I think that you need to bring that back. And here's the reason why. I think it's a way to still connect with the fans, because it's kind of hard to connect with the fans on Instagram or social media, any type of social media, because as much as I try my best to answer people's comments or direct messages or anything like that, it becomes a task and it's really hard. But one thing that I enjoyed, which I want to do better of, is my Facebook group that I totally fell off of that I created. I was able to grab a bunch of women, you know, who wanted to be a part of my group.
Rob wants to grab a bunch of women.
you know where.
And my God.
Grabbing by the what?
Okay. Shout out 2020.
Don't forget, YouTube is grabbing all these words we're saying, and they're trying to figure out whether or not they can make money off this video.
So head over to Tinkly.com.
And I feel like... So my thing was, what I liked about the group was that I could just get on and read kind of what was going on, other people asking for advice. And then I'd jump in on the convos that I felt like jumping in. And then there was me interacting with them, you know? So it was like, oh, someone's asking some advice about this. I got some knowledge about that. Let me reply, you know? So I kind of enjoyed that version of it why are you looking at me like that?
Because you're basically telling me, because it's so hard to interact with all your fans across Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, etc., why don't you create another place you have to go?
Well, now you're just going on your website. You're not going anywhere else.
So now I can't reply to people on Twitter and Facebook?
Well, sure, if you want to.
I have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially on YouTube.
And one of the features actually of Patreon that could get to that point is, if enough people are on there, like I said, another platform you can interact with would be people that are actually, they know what your time's worth. They know what the time it takes to make this stuff. So if they want to interact with you, and they're being a part of making it, well, okay, now you can go to Patreon.
Okay, and let's make this clear, guys. What does Patreon consist of? There's three tiers of membership. It's kind of what it is.
I put two of them up right now, and then when we could make more things to actually level up to a third one, then we can unlock
that. Okay, so there's two levels, which explain to the people who don't know what Patreon even is.
So basically,
you want to tell them?
Yeah, so I'll just real quick. It's super simple. If you like something that somebody makes, you can become a patron, which is basically just like a helping hand or a contributor to that person's creations, right? So you sign up for a membership that you can cancel anytime, whether it's $5, $10, or some people have it up to like hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you just sign up, and every month you'll get whatever tier you sign up for, the $5, the $10 one, you get those features versus everybody else that doesn't get that. You know, bonus content, early access, so on and so forth.
First dibs,
kind of stuff. Yeah. Just depending on what we include in
the
tier.
So you would probably get like, you would get to watch the series first before.
Well, you get everything first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so as we talked about the other day, starting this month, so January 31st, the first tier is $5. And one of the things, the primary thing, is you get an extra episode. So you get a fifth episode in January if you sign up as a patron on Patreon.
Got it.
Going forward, the goals, one of them would be people. A lot of people want two episodes a week. It takes a lot for you guys to break away another day to do another podcast.
Yeah. For
so
free.
Yeah. So you gotta think.
For free. No sponsors. For free.
The goals are up there for 500 patrons, 1,000, 10,000, so on. People want a new album. Okay. Well, that takes time and money as well.
Mm-hmm.
They want that web series. It's another goal.
Yeah. Because if you're just running around making a whole bunch of stuff for free every day, that's what you do every day. I'm going to shoot a music video. Oh, yeah. How you going to sell it? I'm not. I'm going to give it away for free. I'm going to record it. And it's just like, damn, what kind of business is it?
And before we start sounding like we're just like little money hungry, you know what I'm saying? Like,
thankfully, the tour is doing great.
Well, not just that. Let's backtrack just a little bit. Chingo Bling is a business. Pedro is another person. You know what I'm saying?
Pedro got kids.
Pedro owns Chingo Bling, which is his business.
Right.
So just like any business, not everything in a business can be for free, you know? So my pleasure. Thank you. We appreciate all that. It's very much appreciated from every fan out there. So we're not saying like our fans don't deserve free items, but in order for us to run a successful business, some things do have to be.
And it's not that stuff is for sale. It's just that we're giving an opportunity for a select few loyal members that want to actually be a part of, like for instance, back when we did Masa and the Power season 2 via Kickstarter, you know, people were getting shout outs. We had some actual tangible things that would get mailed to them, but that becomes a pain in the neck. But there's everything from shout outs to getting your name in the credits, like writing your name into the script. You know, it's a different, it's an example, but that's a different beast, if you will.
Yeah.
With Patreon, it's like, we don't need everybody to pitch in. Yeah. We just need some folks that are like, hey man, I want a second episode. I want it first. Yeah. I want more.
Yeah.
Give me more. And I actually want to have some say in what you're making because I enjoy all the stuff that you're giving us.
Yeah, you so, brought up Rhonda Patrick. She would always kind of like spin it as, for the price of, which it literally it is, most people's coffees at Starbucks, you could get more of the content and get all the other, you know.
Yeah, and that's like just for the month.
And you know, you also have to be that person's like little niche. So, you know, totally. If they're not into Chingo Bling, then they're not going to, you know, be in it. Just like if you're not into Rhonda Patrick, you know, you'll take whatever she gives for free.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to read further or you don't want to know further, then you're not going to subscribe. Yeah. But
yo, how many, do you know how many, maybe you could tell me off record. Do we get a good amount of emails from the track I gave?
Yeah, did you see all the notifications?
I just don't know.
I got so many. I was like,
maybe you signed me.
Yeah. Okay. So, which is still there. I mean, by the way, like we didn't actually say we're going to take it off.
Yeah, like you said,
last free, which was funny, last freestyle of 2020. In my head, I was like, now you could have been like first freestyle of 2020.
Yeah.
Or rather, last freestyle of 2019.
Oh, yeah. Oops. I think I said last freestyle.
Last freestyle of the year. And I'd be like, hey, first freestyle of the year, it's still up. You know, before it's gone, maybe it's only for patrons after, you know, the week or whatever.
Yeah.
Patrons
can probably get access into to old the catalog and whole albums and stuff.
Yeah.
You ain't got to go on iTunes.
And your old school tapes that we're talking about, that definitely is going to have to be on Patreon.
Yeah. So I have a bunch of old video tapes from when I first started. I have to go through all the tapes just to see like what era, how long ago, and I have to buy a special old school camera just to be able to play those tapes because they don't sell them anymore. So I'm gonna have to get it on eBay or Amazon or something and go through them and edit together like a nice little like vlogumentary type of thing.
What year are we talking that those tapes are from?
Easily like 04, 05, 06, maybe 07. I'm not sure up until what point we kind of stopped or
That's
whatever.
Cool.
Hopefully they still work because they were. This is a garage, so obviously there's a little bit of humidity, and then there's like cold. So we'll see.
Yeah, they were in storage, right?
No,
they've been in here.
They've been here.
Well, they've been here for a few weeks, but before that, they were in a video editor's possession because I was trying to get that going, and it's like, all right, let me just do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I think definitely that's something.
Not trying to be a control freak, but some stuff where it's like, I gotta sit through your old tapes, bro.
Yeah.
You want to be able to paint the story, right? You have to edit it.
And I think that's something that you would probably be best at telling because you actually lived it. And so you kind of probably...
think of a voiceover or confessional.
I'm just like, for example, for me, because I mean, I still am a Chingo Bling fan. So I'm not saying
that number one.
Exactly.
And that's when I get fussy.
I got to walk away when he's
then
fussy.
Then she's like, you know what, Pedro? You lucky I like Chingo.
It's so cool. You know what I'm saying?
She's like you're lucky you make pretty babies.
And fire beats. You know what I'm saying?
And fire beats.
And you know how to edit.
I think it's pretty cool to give that to his fans because so many years later now, it's like you kind of like, you remember, but you don't remember. So to see it all over, it's like, oh shit. And then for example, like there's certain songs of his that it's funny. I would tell him like, oh, we played that song every time we'd be on our way to the river. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, that's our jam that Bandas makes her dance was the song that we drove to like New Braunfels listening to get crunk as we were like, we knew that the signs of like, we were getting to the river, like to the river. It was like, oh shit. All right, let's do it. And that was the song we played
over there by Goofy's and you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We would go float. And so it was like, that was the song that's going to get everybody crunk before we go float. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why that was the song, but that was
like
the song.
It was probably like an inside joke, and it probably marked a moment in time.
For sure.
Like, that was the song of that, you know, for that
time
period.
That's what I'm saying. I think that when he puts these videos out, anybody who's a hardcore Chingo Bling fan is going to feel like, oh my God, I was blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, I was dating so-and-so. Ew. You know what I'm saying? Like all those things start to come back, you know? So that's what I think is so cool about like him having so much history and so many of his fans that
nostalgia.
Yeah, exactly. Nostalgia. Exactly. And so many of his fans are such like they're fans. They're not just like, oh yeah, I like him. You know what I'm saying? No, it's like they're hardcore fans. They've been fans, you know? So it's dope that you still have them after this many years, you know?
Yeah, because so, shit, it's a minute.
How many years total you think from beginning to like 2020 now?
2020. Well, if you count my college radio days, then 20 years.
20 years. That's what I thought, but I wasn't like,
Yeah, so if you don't count college days, when you officially kicked off?
Well, I graduated in 01, and then I was still, I hadn't released anything. I might have only...
But you had already started Chingo Bling, right?
Kinda. I might have only like hosted a couple, two, three events in San Antonio, and you know, still hadn't probably performed a song yet. So... It's, you know, it depends on how technical you're trying to get.
Sure, but we can call it 20 years.
Yeah, but dream, you know, the dream and all that has been alive. So.
20-year anniversary.
A lot of free content later.
We're touring the country.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, dates are up on chingobling.com.
Yeah.
Dates are up, yes.
And we appreciate all the love on tour because, I mean, the shows be sold out, packed. VIP is the first thing to go. And that's thanks to... giving away a whole bunch of shit, people illegally downloading your shit, people bootlegging your shit, people making copies. So the comedy chapter of my life and being able to, you know, do these kinds of venues is definitely like, I don't know what the word is, like, you feel the reciprocity, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
You feel like people are like, yo, we used to jam your shit, and now they're actually buying a ticket. I mean, you know, we did shows back in the day, but I didn't really have control over the gate and the door.
And not nearly as many shows as you do in comedy.
They were just sort of one-offs. They just weren't as efficient.
Right.
But, I mean, you were working yourself to the bone. Yeah. You were flying everywhere, except, you know, you didn't come back with the same amount.
Right, right.
But you were fucking breaking your neck, running around, eating junk food, drinking liquor, staying up late.
You know what I think it's cool, too,
sacrificing
with the fans.
Sacrificing my body.
Those who have, like, have also grown with Chingo, if that makes sense, right? Is when they come up to the merch booth, they're so excited to show me about their picture that they took years ago, like, you know, 10 years ago
and
with Chingo, when it's the young version of him and that fan, right?
Yeah.
But then I see them now, they're like a dad, they're married, they have children.
They're
so it's so crazy. Yeah. So it's so crazy that they too are, you know, evolving from this person that they were back in the days, because they look so different in that picture versus what I'm seeing in front of me.
Yeah.
So it's so funny. Like, I'm like, how crazy that they're also the... like fan 3.0, you know, like they're also changing as Chingo is changing too,
and,
you know?
And in my new material, that's part of what I touch on. It's like, y'all motherfuckers grew up too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. Especially when they want the hat and the boots. It's like, bro, a 40-year-old with hats and boots like that? Come on.
Especially when you remember like Y2K was 20 years ago. Like the hottest song at the time was Back That Ass Up. You know, still is a fire song, but it's like, how many of y'all still wearing, you know, apple bottom jeans with the boots with the fur, you know what I mean?
Or like my friend said the other day, she was like, because she has a daughter now, and she posted it on Facebook, and it was funny because she said, do you guys remember the minute Back That Ass Up came on in the club? You ran to the dance floor to go back it up. It's like, imagine if you caught your daughter right now at the club running to the dance floor, backing it up on some guy. What the fuck were you gonna
do? Now it's like a little pump song.
She's
somebody.
Like, why did we think that was like, like that thing, right? But now that we have kids, it's like, fuck no, she better not be doing that shit at the club.
And you didn't have to be on the dance floor to get backed up on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they could be in the line to the restroom.
At the bar.
Backing it up on, hey, hold on, girl, you in the line to the restroom.
In the line to the restroom.
What you doing? Number one, number two. Watch how you back it.
Speaking of number one, number two.
Oh, okay.
We were listening to Joe Rogan's last podcast. And
it wasn't the most recent one.
Oh, it's not?
It's the Sober October recap.
Oh, that was hilarious.
They just went on and on about
bro, Joey Diaz would shit in the shower.
Hand. Oh, that's right. And then he'd get it with his hand and throw it.
Toss it.
Yeah. And then he was like, and then my wife caught me. She said, no more. This has to stop. This has to stop.
Bro, you can't be shitting in the shower, bro.
I can't imagine walking in, catching Chingo, catching one of his turds.
Mind you, this video will be going to YouTube, and YouTube's algorithm is going to scan every word we say.
Poop is going to be...
No, they're not going to kick me off. They're just going to scan everything we're talking about here and trying to figure out whether or not my channel's worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who can we advertise?
I can't wait till this process of his just kind of comes to an end.
What do you mean?
This everything that has to come out of our mouth now, it can only
No, in reality, it just means that this medium of art isn't the best fit sometimes for YouTube.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm. And that's kind of what Rob had been trying to tell us in 50 different ways. But, you know.
Facebook loves it, though. Facebook doesn't have a problem with it right now.
Yeah, I guess the way their thing works.
Because they're a lot more lenient on, like, whatever. And I'd say that people are trying to purposely copyright things and steal things. But even if there's, like, the 10, 15-second blip of something that's not considered yours on YouTube, like, they flag it, you know, it demonetized or whatever. Facebook, not really the case.
Yeah, I don't mean that we're playing music or anything like that on here. It's just that they're just scanning every single word you say and trying to figure out, can we make some money off of it? Can we advertise? That's why I can't get mad. I can't look at the views of this podcast on YouTube and judge it based on just views alone mm-hmm. on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that, you know, Apple and everywhere mm-hmm. else.
So if you're out there trying to start a YouTube channel or you're trying to start some kind of podcast, know that there is a lot of work that goes behind it.
If you're trying to make money off of YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not trying to make money off of it and you're just using it, then do what you want. But if you're really trying to, if you watch these vloggers or whatever YouTubers and you're like, fuck, how do these kids, I've got a degree and these kids on YouTube are making more money than I am. Know that it's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just pull up a camera and record.
Well, there's a science.
Yeah, there's a science to it. Exactly. So it's not just like, oh, I want to start a YouTube channel and that was it. The funny thing is that when I go back and look at my YouTube channel, now with the things that I've done now, there's a start. Oh, look at her trying to start and she didn't finish. Oh, then I attempted again. Look at her trying to start and she didn't finish. You know what
I'm saying? Now we have the knowledge.
And now it's like, again, it's like she's starting. Oh, she's being consistent. She has been dropping on a weekly basis. She has been dropping. So maybe she is going to make it this time around, you know?
You know what's trippy, man? And I know you know this, but, you know, as an artist, I've had a YouTube forever. And I went about it the wrong way. For the longest, because I just thought it was like, just upload stuff for free. I treated it like another social media page. Mm-hmm. Just upload a thing. Like, I would just put up a song with just a picture of the artwork, thinking, well, people could jam it at their house and then, you know, maybe they'll buy a ticket on tour one day. Just give it away for free and then maybe one day it'll come back. Now I'm learning that, like, a view is not equal to a view. Like, YouTube almost doesn't care about views. They almost don't even care how many subscribers you have. They care about watch minutes and watch hours. How long are they going to be on there? And, you know, how many ads could we put and how could we make some money? Like, you know how people say, like, well, the quality of the content has to come into play at some point. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, quality of content is subjective.
Right.
So what you think is a quality thing, you probably paying attention to the camera and the light. Somebody else might be paying attention to the story. But either way, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It matters more like watch time, watch hours.
Yeah, and then the third thing to round that out would be the engagement, like the comments people leave, and then smashing that like button. If you get people, if you've programmed them to hit the like button and comment, that also is right up there with watch hours.
It helps the engagement. Yeah. And not only are they commenting, but what words are they using in the comments? Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother fucking thing.
Well, also, the thing is that there's so many tricks and hacks. Like what you have to do to, like you said, to trick the algorithm, you know, it's like before you even start this damn channel, do some research, like do your research about, you know, let's give them some keywords here, Pete. So there's the.
Oh, this is what you do. Go to youtube.com. Look me up. CBTV. CBTV, new channel. My last channel. My last channel. We tried an experiment that people liked. Got views, got engagement, but it went against the terms, community guidelines, which was we were doing some reactions to some fight videos. So that's part of the research. I didn't know I was running the risk. I wasn't fully utilizing my channel anyway, so it's kind of a blessing in disguise. So it doesn't matter that I'm starting from scratch, because now we're starting from scratch the right way.
Right.
Not just, oh, let's just spend a bunch of money, make a music video and put it up for free, and not knowing that you know, the most you can get off ads on those videos, like you can only get $2 or $3, you know what I'm saying? Like for that type of content. But if you got this in it and you're saying this and you type this in the description and you have this in your tags and your title says this, now you could probably make $15, $16, $17, $18 CPM, whatever scientific lingo we're throwing at y'all. But, it's like a whole nother, it's a whole nother business. Yeah. It's a whole nother thing. I was treating it like it was just my Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, eh, it's another place to post and get
and,
stuff
and
away.
And it's, that's the thing. So here's what I'm getting at. The only time that I have to do any research that I have, it's kind Torres. Of old now, sorry. Yeah, the only time that I have like any time to do research or get on there seriously is at nighttime. And it sucks because that's our time. And that hour time is important to me. But it's kind of cool because lately we've kind of both been on this like same wavelength where
in the daytime we podcasting for y'all. Thank you though. Thank you guys. No, it's cool. It's free, but it's cool. No, right, no.
In the daytime we're doing 100 other things. I'm telling you, as I watch those vlogs, I'm like, these people are probably like, do y'all work or just fucking run errands all day?
Because we probably need an assistant.
Well, and it's errands that have to do with whatever business related thing is happening.
Like someone bought a sticker off her site. Now we got to go to the P.O. box.
Just to mail off
thanks.
A sticker.
Thank you for buying the sticker.
I am not. That's him saying that. I appreciate the sticker buying. So thank you guys. If you're going to herapparelTX.com to purchase anything, I appreciate it. Do not listen to Chingo. That's
he's
him,
a comedian,
not me.
Everybody. He's
that's
a
him,
comedian.
Not me.
Hey, this is under the comedy category. Everybody.
Let's not start 2020 like 2019.
Yeah, right? Exactly. No.
What do they call them? Snowflakes? The super sensitive liberals out there?
Yeah, that's the word.
I don't think those are your audience.
I'm sure a lot of my liberal... Well, it's hard to tell.
I would say snowflake type, but they get offended by things.
Yeah, but honestly, man, I don't know if we got... Like, I know a lot of my West Texas people probably vote a certain way because there's a lot of oil jobs out there. And in Texas, people assume that everybody here votes a certain way.
Sure.
But it's a very diverse state. And in Austin, it's like its own thing that votes a certain way. You might get some snowflakes out there.
This is very true. Lots of them in Austin.
It's snowing right now.
I don't know. I had posted something on my story about when the whole thing with Trump when he was being impeached.
Keywords.
Right? And
you have some nice keywords right there for the
and so
algorithm.
Anyhow, I'm gonna say what I want to say.
I'm kidding.
And anyway, so it's funny because I got a DM from somebody who like was like, yeah, they need to blah blah blah, who was all for the next steps that need to happen are XYZ so that he can, I mean, very everything he was saying was exactly correct. Like, it's not going to happen until what is it? How many the votes of blah blah blah? And so,
oh, because everybody, mom was thinking
it. It's done. Like he's done. It's not how it works. Anyway, so he DMs and says that I said correct, and then someone else says he's nothing but good for us, right? And so it was someone else was different, right? Point of view, and I was like, Hispanic last name, right, or Latino last name, whatever you want to go by, and. I thought for me, it's always like, okay, what is this person's background when they're Latino and, you know, they're very for Trump, you know? And, he was ex-military, but obviously that's, you know, to him, that's his, you know, his president. And he tried to come at me like rude. And I just said, my platform is not to discuss politics. I said, I post my opinions, but I don't go back and forth. I'm glad that's the way you feel. I respect it. Please respect me. That's all I said, because I'm not going to go back and forth
One thing we definitely have to keep in mind is that we're living in an interesting time where you almost have to ask first, well, what channel did they watch for a little while? Because right now there's like two movies that people are watching. It's the same story, but everybody's watching a different version of the same movie. One side is going to be like, well, shit, my coffee tastes the same the next day. I don't see nothing different. What did y'all accomplish besides waste everybody's time with this little thing that y'all trying to do just to piss him off? What really did you get accomplished, right? That's what one side is going to say. And the next side is like, yes, finally, you know, then we can finally, you know, get someone that's going to worry about us minorities. They're worried about corporations, bro. That money ain't gonna trickle down to you. So it's an interesting time where, like, I almost feel like there's so many little weaknesses in our game, like the country, where different people find ways to exploit. So, like, for instance, like here in this country, people trust the media. And one thing I do like that he did is he called motherfuckers out like, hey, a lot of this shit is fake, bro. And of course, for instance, the thing he said about, man, it was good people and bad people both. on each side when it came down to protesting these statues getting taken down. Well, what I find very irresponsible is that a lot of the, I guess, left-leaning media outlets, they edited what he said to make it seem like he only said, there's a lot of fine people on the protest side. But they chopped off what he said. Obviously, we have to denounce white supremacists. We have to denounce all these bad people. But there were people there who had the permit to protest who, for different reasons, didn't want the statues to come down. They purposely cut that out, which is really to confuse us, the Americans, and just keep us divided. So really, you know, it's not black and white.
No, not at all. Because now the process is, I believe the House is controlled by the Republicans, right? So yeah. They have to take it to, you know, they have to vote for it. There's more, they're basically all majority Republicans. They're not going to vote him out of office. So, but he still technically was the third president to be impeached, but people just took it. People didn't know were like, oh, he's out. Like,
and
no.
Two of them got impeached for pissing off Hillary.
Let's talk about this tumbler that's coming to your store.
Those are pretty dope tumblers.
Oh, it's coming to the store?
Yeah. I didn't know. What'd you think it was coming to?
I thought it was like a dope premium thing that you could only get on the road.
Oh, or, we can.
You know, you gotta come think to about the shows, baby. Stuff can't just be sitting online. You don't want stuff sitting online. Okay. All this shit is hot.
Well, then cool. We'll save them for the first city we go to. And the crazy thing is the first city we go to, I mean, this is for cold and hot, so it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. But, you know, we are going to Salt Lake City, which is cold. You need your coffee. So, you need your tumbler.
We make a bunch of fly shit, and sometimes people take fly shit for granted when it's just sitting on the web store. So that's where, you know,
exclusive.
If you signed up to our email blast, that's where you get alerted about certain stuff. So get the Fetty Out Friday emails every Friday. And actually, we just gave away a song. You know, all we asked for, just chunk us your email, get on our list, and you could the song got downloaded a whole bunch of times. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of, like, I think people want to help more and be a part of stuff more. It's not their fault that we just been kind of maybe being inefficient. Like,
also the algorithm too, because I think I told you this the other day, babe. There's this person's like had DM. Oh no, I told you, Rob. Mm. I said this person's been. She's like, I've been following you for a little bit since you had the baby, since a little bit before you had your baby, which is while I was pregnant, all the time that I was pregnant and stuff, which makes it now Penny's a year and 6 months. So she's been following me about that long. She says, I had zero idea you started a YouTube channel.
I have an idea.
Okay. A theory or an idea?
No, it's an idea.
All right.
I believe, here's one idea. It doesn't have to be right. This podcast should be removed from my YouTube channel. It should not live on my YouTube channel because we talk about so many different things. You know, I'm always like, now I'm all sensitive about, damn, I probably need to start smoking, huh? You hear that? No, maybe I eat too much meatloaf. Okay. And these pants are too tight. So this is what I'm thinking. You know how I'm very like now conscious of like, man, all these things that we're saying, it's throwing off the machine. It's not going to know. Basically, we're not going to get no views and we're not going to make no money or nothing off this being off my YouTube. If anything, it becomes a liability because now it dilutes what my channel was starting to build. You know, when you have a very specific like a vlog, or you're doing a challenge, or you're doing a mukbang. It's very specific, and it's curated so that it helps YouTube create a smoother user experience for people that are on there searching for stuff. On the podcast, it's general. We're throwing out all kind of topics and words, and if anything, it's just going to kind of like dilute. I'll give you an example. When we appealed, me getting kicked off my first page that had 225,000 subscribers. Thank you very much. When we appealed,
where are you at now with those
people? Right now we're like at 2,000 because we started over. But listen, when we appealed, hey, sorry YouTube, I didn't mean to put the fighting videos up. I know I got a couple strikes. Can you maybe forgive us if we delete them, or can you help me get my channel back? This is probably what they looked at: how much money we making over there, how many ads, is the channel smoothly run, and are they making stuff that we need them to make? Because we're helping. When you get on YouTube, you're helping YouTube create a smoother experience for their user. So you almost become like a contractor or a partner in a sense, right? Because you're uploading content. So I almost feel like maybe the only thing you get from the podcast on YouTube is maybe like a teaser, a sizzle, a trailer, a behind the scenes. Maybe like, for instance, Joe Budden, his podcast is exclusively on Spotify because he got a check. He got a deal with Spotify. And I think he was like the number one podcast over there, supposedly, right? Because he's their exclusive guy. So if you try to go listen to Joe Budden on Apple Podcasts, it's going to say, ha ha, no podcast here. Go on over to Spotify. And does that make sense, what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't, this podcast might not live well. So maybe this
is something that only lives on Patreon, mm-hmm, or something that lives on your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just another place. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like it's just going to dilute the moment. The track record that I want to get going with YouTube. They're going to be like, okay, good. Good engagement, good. Okay, right keywords. Okay, you on topic. People searching for that. They like this. Yes, that got kids and women in it. That rules the market. Boom, 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 boom. Wait, what is this? It's an hour long thing that we just, you know, it's a conversation. Okay, well, your keywords all over the place, bro. I heard something about booty in the air. Something about, you know, you're just talking about the president. You know, that's what I think.
Okay.
It's an idea, because I just feel like it's going to be counterproductive to what...
I think part of it is true, and I don't think part of it is.
Well, I think that what we're trying to build on YouTube is going to require a specific strategy, whereas this may kind of be like, okay, well, there goes an hour's worth of stuff that we really can't advertise on.
For sure. So what is it now that you're starting from scratch, so you've decided, like, it's what, more the direction of what you want to build?
You said what now?
Now that you're starting over from scratch, mm-hmm, and you have like a defined idea of what you want to build, like what is it more so that you want to focus on the channel?
I feel like there's going to be a common ground between what we want to make and what we're about and what YouTube incentivizes people to make. Does that make sense? So in other words, if I'm going to treat YouTube like a business and I'm going to help create stuff, you know, for that platform, I can't treat it like another social media page. I went about it all wrong. I can't treat it like it's my Facebook and I'm going to just throw up a video meme. So, for example, Hotline Bling, that went viral. Man, that's dope. You got so many views. Sure, a lot of those views may translate into record sales or tour ticket sales and merch sales and a lot of cool stuff. But, you know, I don't know how, like, if they were able to really monetize it with the ads and the banners and stuff. I don't know. So, to answer your question, man, you know, whatever that common ground is, stuff that we're willing to make that's going to make sense, not just it's 2020. And you acting like you were a rookie in the game, bro. What are you doing? No, you've been in this shit 20 years.
Well, you are rookie in the game for the YouTube department.
Yeah, because the game's changing.
It's constantly changing. And it's almost like you have to go to like a YouTube...
university.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real, because it's so like specific and it's so like, make sure you're doing this, make sure you don't do that. Like, don't say this, don't say that, you know, type of thing. And so... those are, I guess, some things that I've learned along the way, you know, as I, you know, like I said, for me, because I guess I think about myself, you know, and I, again, like I said, I only get on YouTube to watch things that I need to watch. Does that make sense? Like, I never before would just get on to watch Jeffree Star, you know? I followed him on social media, but I honestly can't say that I would click on his video. What made me click on his video was... I saw the Shane Dawson guy, who is a little video editor who is great at telling stories and filming things a certain way. He is known for that. Everyone knows that, right? On YouTube, he does great YouTube videos to where
they're like documentaries.
They're like little documentaries, yeah. To where he puts the right amount of humor to where it'll keep you engaged, right? Sometimes people add too much of a lengthy conversation and it's like before it gets to the funny part you listen to all this and it's like this is the funny part. Okay, it's almost like he's good at like, okay, that was dumb, let me just keep this. Anyway, he did that collab with Jeffree Star. I happened to be on YouTube because I wanted to start a YouTube channel, so I started doing a little bit of research, and so my little cousin Ashley was the one that said, you might like the way Shane Dawson edits. You should probably check that out to see if that's kind of a style that you would like to you know, to have for your. And I was like, okay. And he was like, wow, these guys out here are making YouTube content like this. Like, people sit here and watch this. And now this whole time Shane Dawson hasn't posted anything because he did this whole series with him and Jeffree Star collabing, which took a lot of time because it was like very well put together. I mean, he went as far as like going to talk to the landlord, to Jeffree Star's very first landlord, so they could go back and film in it. He asked if they could go in his old apartment. I mean, he went all out. He did great, you know? So my point is that, you know, it's like, I never thought that these are things that other people want to see, you know, and it's crazy because when I did the poll on my Instagram story, there was a lot of these mukbangs, which again, while I've been doing the YouTube research, I kept seeing mukbangs and I was like, what are these mukbangs? What is, and I clicked on one. I was like, I don't want to watch someone eat. I was like, oh.
But it's about personality and storytelling.
It's about the storytelling. So, the food is not even irrelevant. Exactly. It's really what that person's talking about. And then it made sense once I started watching more and more of them. It's like, oh, they're laughing at the convo that's happening. You know?
It gives you something to do while you're while you're talking.
I didn't know they've been popular for so long. Oh, like, they're since 2010, 11, people have been doing them. I'd never once saw one.
Me either, until it was suggested when I did that poll on my Instagram. You know, this is why it's so important. This is why I try to listen to my followers on Instagram, is because they are such, you know, these people who are on social media or do the YouTube a lot. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of people, YouTube is like their TV. You know what I'm saying? So when I, like, this girl was like, I forgot what, man, what that follower's name is, but she gave me three other references of other Latina, like girls that are on there doing different things. And she was like, I'm so excited about you doing it. She's like, because now I feel like there's another Latina out there who is kind of doing these things. And it's like, I feel like, oh, there's more people like me doing stuff out there like that. And she's like, watch these girls. So I'm watching these girls. I was like, but who wants to know what I do in the morning? You want to know what I, you want to know that I brush my teeth?
Well, all these, what I appreciate about all these little trends and whatever is it gives you a template and a format as to what is working. So a couple years ago, because we've been content creators, like I said, 20 years creating content before it was called content. That was a fucking marketing buzzword that maybe they, I don't know what year they started using it. They started calling this online creation content.
I'm going to look that up.
So we've been doing this forever. And now, you know, even a couple years ago, I'm trying to think of what skits and stuff we were doing at the time, but we're just like racking our brain, trying to reinvent the wheel week after week. Any ideas? What could we do? What if, well, you got Memphis coming up. Why don't you like dress like Elvis? And it could be like Elvis is on TMZ and then you could promote your Memphis show. And it's like, all right, well, we need to go buy an Elvis suit that we're going to use how many times? Once. And you, and ain't nobody really make it to my knowledge. There's more mukbangs and get ready with me and morning routines and those types of things. Then there is dude dressed like Elvis, Memphis funny. Nobody's looking for that. So basically that's why I appreciate these little, as dumb as they seem, like mukbang. It's like it gives you a format and a template so you could fall through the stream of what people are kind of searching for versus you over here racking your brain week after week. So obviously, there's like 50,000 opportunities of different things we could put our energy towards. There's 50,000 different things we could put our energy towards within YouTube. And I feel like, you know, what we have going so far on YouTube, I think we have a bright future because we have the experience. We've been content. We are content creators. So it's like, why wouldn't you be like really killing it on YouTube? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, to me, like if I came up with a list of things that I could apply my brain towards, it's like, man, YouTube kind of makes sense because like you have all the tools and that's what your team does. You got cameras, lights, and a whole bunch of action.
Yeah.
I guess there's not really any history of it.
No definition for it.
Yeah, and my baby got a bubbly personality. So, you know, we got to make sure we take advantage of that.
But going back to that, so as I kept watching morning routine videos, I was like, oh, because on some of them, I was like, I even told him, I was like, I need to try what this lady does, which is where I saw that a lot of moms get up 2 hours before their child gets up to get done whatever they need to do for themselves, whether it be to take a bath, you know what I'm saying? A shower. It's like the little things like that. You know what I'm saying? One lady was like, this is my time that I use number two.
Oh my God. One lady was like, I've been holding this fart since Wednesday.
She was like, this is my time that I take. So she does her morning face routine, like her lotions and all that. She showers.
She did a fart routine.
I don't know about no fart routine, but she definitely brought in the fact that she's like, it's hard for her to get away to sit on the toilet because, you know, she's got triplets. So she's got three little ones, you know,
little turds.
And so she's like, you know, She explained, this part might be TMI, so skip to X amount of minutes if you don't want to listen to this part. She's like, but for those mom who can relate, who have twins, she said twins and more, which obviously it's if whatever you have more than two kids, you know, she's like, you know that it's crucial to find this little time to use number two because you may not have it throughout the day. Because she's
like, sometimes I got to go number three. One for each kid.
But you know, it's little things like that I was like, oh, okay, you know. So then I thought, okay, here's where it gets interesting. Yeah, it's almost like you gotta give them something to be like, oh, I should try that. I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Is it helpful?
Is it informative?
Yeah. So that's something that I noticed on some of them. Some of the other ones were like too dumb for me. It was like skip. You know what I'm saying? It was like, no, girl. And they had a gazillion followers, so there's got to be something about her that people enjoy.
Somebody for everybody.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I told you that the other day. I was
the
like,
the riches are in the niches.
Oh, I was like, everybody has their, I was like, I don't get it, but obviously there's something for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Just like I may not be for some people.
Some shit, like, again, like I said, art and quality and all that type of stuff is subjective. So what I might see that is working, I might be like, man, this shit is corny as hell. I'm not going to do that, you know? But it's like, okay, but there's a reason it's working and it's being monetized because they're hitting all the marks and they're doing all the things that you're supposed to do, so that it's like, it's almost like every little check mark on each box, it's almost like YouTube is waiting for you to check it all. So it could be like, whew, good. This is what we need to give the users a smooth experience. Like, is the video about what you say it's about? And so on and so forth. And then whew, now you're going to pull up quicker on the search.
Yeah. Yeah, ironically, there's so many clickbaity things that really, if you watch, aren't really about what the title's
it's like,
about.
Wait to the end so that you can see. And the wait to the end thing is, we need that watch time so you can click these ads and we can keep making stuff so you can, you know, pay for
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is, I guess, a YouTube content.
A YouTube episode.
We'll call it, I was thinking, the overview of 2020. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be a big focus. Shout out to my boy Lucky. He's been schooling me as well. His video did really well on my, like when we had him on the podcast, that episode's doing really well on
our collab, our mukbang collab did very well channel. As well on my channel. It's funny because his wife called me or texted me and she was like, it seemed like she was the one watching the numbers for me more than I was, because she's like, girl, there's a commercial on there. That's when I texted you and I asked you. She's
am
like,
I monetized?
She's like, it's commercial. She goes, you've got commercials. Have you been monetized? And I was like, no. It's just like, no, you might want to check that. She's like, because there's commercials. She's like, which means now they're boosting you. Google is like pushing you up because people are going to want to watch it. So they're going to add ads to your video. And I was like, word? I was working out when she sent me that. It was early in the morning. That's when I texted you. I was
started pedaling faster.
Yeah. I was like, can you please check? I was like, if I'm being monetized now, because she just told me. But my point is that they're really good about it. And they're so like, and I've said this before on the last podcast, but you know, they've got it figured, not to the, obviously, cause she says, she's like, yes and no, we have it figured out. There's still things that we're working at, you know, but for the most part, they're, you know, they've got it down and they're, and you know, there's so many different elements of their life, cause they've got kids in different stages of life. Mm-hmm. So they've got something for everybody. You know what I'm saying? So if you have a 7-year-old, they're probably going to have something about their 7-year-old in there. You know, if they've got a 15-year-old, there's going to be, because they're so diverse, being that they've got, you know, so many kids, and so that's the reason why, you know. So
that my mom,
yeah,
she was texting and calling earlier. Speaking of Lucky, we've been in the same here. Can you look at that real quick? Mm-hmm. We were in the same boat, because veterans of the, you know, whatever you want to call it,
the game,
Tex-Mex, mixtape, underground, niche, whatever the fuck we are down here, right? And, you know, creating content, making songs, trying to figure it out, you know, in the music business, you know, it's crazy. It's turbulent because the CD is going out, record stores are shutting down, and you're all in this business. You know, promoters are flaky, like, you know, so on and so forth. So to reiterate what Marisol was saying, he's definitely been giving me tips and stuff, because, you know, they're really in it. They're deep in it right now. We're kind of newer, just trying to figure out what direction we want to go in.
I really just want to give, I'd like to be informative. I like to give information. And so as I read stuff or as I experience stuff, I like to share it because I feel like there's other people who probably could benefit from it, which is what I enjoy doing, you know. And I also want to see, like, for people to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for them to see what it's like to be, you know, in this little crazy life that we live in. Because I always wonder, like, not necessarily that they have to be in the entertainment business, but just in general, who else out there lives such a crazy life like that to where it's like, oh, I can relate to that. You know what I'm saying? All the madness, you know, that they have going on in one day.
And I feel like ours is even more maddening because the nature of our business, it's like, not only are we parents and we have, you know, kids and we're regular human beings, but it's like what we do for a job. It's like right now they're in the garage. Chingo just press ignore on his mom's call because he's podcasting for free, which is going to go on YouTube because it's going to go, and it's going to go on YouTube, and it's probably just going to dilute what I'm trying to do with YouTube. So I don't even know if this is going to fit anymore on my YouTube. But what I'm saying is life in general is hectic. And on top of that, it's like, we're buying cameras and lights and we don't really know if it's going to get monetized or not, but we got tools and we got a team you know, thankfully there's a tour and there's merch and all this other stuff, but it's like, it's the wild, wild west is what I'm saying. Like, we're literally in this ever changing digital space. So we might be in good standing with YouTube today, but it's no telling if a week from now they decide to, new terms, conditions, you can no longer have blonde hair, you can no longer have that kind of microphone. Yeah. I mean, I'm being extreme.
Are we in China?
right.
I'm being extreme, but think about it. It's a vulnerable situation. You're putting all you're making all this stuff to put it on one platform and it's gone. Ask me where the files are for Hotline Bling video and all these like songs and characters. Where are the Canelo videos at? I know where they're at. Some other kid ripped it and put it on his channel. That's where it is. It's on some other kid's channel. Mm. And then another thing to think about is my Netflix stand-up clips. I'm starting to think about, yo, I was saying some wild stuff on there. Maybe that shouldn't go on my YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't no money in that. Ain't going to be no advertising on that.
Well, maybe.
If anything, you're making yourself susceptible. No,
maybe what you do is post one clip, put in the correct keywords, right? And the description part, and see, test it with one to see how it does, right? And then once you see it, you'll know if it's worth putting the rest of the clips on your YouTube channel versus on your Patreon or versus on your website.
Or leave it on Netflix. But the tricky part is, hey, people might be searching for Chingo Bling stand up. And when they see it, they might want to buy a ticket when we come to the city. So it's like tricky. It's like, don't you want exposure? That's kind of how they get you. It's like, you can't not be on here. So part of me almost wants to build up chingobling.com to be like, this is our home. Can't nobody kick us off unless the internet becomes
regulated. Well, that's what I meant, by you need to go back to your old school days when you had that website.
Oh, I thought you meant a forum.
Like, it needs to be like back to where it was, where it was a super active website where you had a lot of your content
that
on
was
there
before social media was a thing.
Yeah. And I don't even know like how many people go to a .com anymore. But
I'm older than YouTube. How long ago when did YouTube come about?
2005.
I was already doing it before that. Mm-hmm. So by the time YouTube came around, I saw it. I was the Indian in Mexico and I saw YouTube coming on this boat from Spain. They had horses on there. They had gunpowder. They had diseases. And I was like, yo, what the fuck is that, dog? We might have to get on that motherfucker. But I saw Facebook when it arrived. I know I'm dating myself. I saw when MySpace was a thing.
Like, what about Friendster? Did you ever fuck Friendster?
No, I didn't get on that. Right. But I literally remember being at a radio station and Crisco Kid telling me, like, you don't have a MySpace? You got to get a MySpace. I was like, what is a MySpace? Like, what do you mean? What space? He's like, a MySpace. I was like, what is it? He's like, it's a page. I'm like, I already have a web page. No, it's a page, and Pharrell got one and Snoop Dogg got one. I was like, I have a page. He's like, no, but it's another page within a page and everybody got a page on there. And I'm just like, well, I'll wait and see.
Well, that's like when Facebook came out. I remember my friends like, you don't have Facebook? I'm like, no, I have MySpace. No, Facebook is better.
I was the same way. No, I was like, I already built a MySpace.
That's what I
got like 100,000 people on there. I got my songs on there. I got my top 8. I could change my background.
My top 8.
You know, I could change my background up. And it's like, yeah, but you want to get on Facebook. So it's kind of like, it's crazy, man. It's like this, it almost feels like this little game that they're all playing with us. Like they're
for
just,
sure.
They're
I mean, because you know us. This isn't it. You know, something's coming to come up next. There's always something new that somebody's able to have the first mover's advantage. Meaning when a new platform comes on and you're one of the first to adopt
like it. Everybody, you ain't on TikTok, you gotta get on TikTok. I'm dude, like, bro, I ain't got time.
You read my mind. TikTok right now is producing more viral XYZs than any platform else has in the last 10 years, and, supposedly.
And well, hold on. Vine was huge.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But it died, right?
And then, like a couple of my buddies, man, Oscar and Jay, they were huge on Vine.
Yeah, Oscar Miranda
and Jay Mendoza. I remember when I think both of them were telling me like, yeah, man, it looks like Vine's going away. And it's one of those like, this ship is sinking. Where are we going to go to next? And that's scary, man. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm a grown ass man. I don't, you know, every humans, we like some bit of certainty and some bit of security.
For sure.
Especially when you got kids. And it's like, all right, man, I don't know how much energy, like put it to you this way. All right, so people going viral off TikTok. How much is TikTok paying people?
I have no idea.
That's what I'm saying. How much was
Vine paying people? No, TikTok is actually paying people. They're even sponsoring people to do these. Because even Reese Witherspoon did a whole little commercial for TikTok about how she's on TikTok now. And her son, it was like this whole thing where she dances with her son. And her son's like embarrassed. And she was like, make sure you I guess follow my TikTok page. So it looks like TikTok is trying to find celebrities
influencers
to go that way. Even if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Kylie that did something for the TikTok too, I guess hoping that
it'll pop off like Snapchat.
Well, yeah, they're tech companies, they have shareholders. That's if they're public. But they have investors, they have venture capital and all that. They want what? ROI. They want return on investment. So they're like, we need influencers. We need bait. Ain't nobody coming over here making shit because they're all on Snapchat and everywhere else making shit. So they're like, we need some incentive. We need some bait. Call Reese Witherspoon. Get her on over here. Which one is she again?
Sweet Home Alabama.
And Legally Blonde, baby.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Legally Blonde.
But what's Sweet Home Alabama? That movie?
Yeah, that's the. I cry at that movie every time.
I like Reese Witherspoon.
I love that movie. I love Reese Witherspoon.
Okay,
that's
old girl from Clueless.
Yeah.
Yes. No, baby. No.
Where is she from?
Legally Blonde.
She's a lawyer.
Yes.
Yeah. She does a pick it up.
She played Rachel's sister in Friends.
No shit.
They got that new show on Apple. Yeah. Now they're doing out Jennifer Aniston.
Morning show. I want to watch that. Yeah. Yes.
And there you go. That's a whole nother platform. And, you know, the word of the day, boys and girls, is monetization. That's the word of the day.
Her, baby.
Yeah. Okay. Monetization is the word of the day. So, for instance, I'm a grown-ass man. You got to get on TikTok, man. Okay, cool. It's a gamble. They might decide to start paying people. Why did Vine go away? Y'all remember why Vine went away?
No.
I don't remember, no.
Supposedly King Botch or Bach or whatever and, like, some of the top Viners went up in there one day and was like, hey man, what's the IPO? You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all are valued at a couple billion. I'm sure Vine at the time was valued at a few billion, maybe, to where if Facebook wanted to come and buy them, they probably would have had to cough up 3 billion or more, for example. So these Viners are what? The ones that make the content. Vine ain't nothing but a platform. It's nothing but software technology. That's it. They don't make culture. They don't come up with dances over there. They don't make. Remember, we had this debate. We had the Fortnite debate. So yeah, if you want to fuck over your content creators, you can. Until they get together and say, we're leaving Vine. Mm. And now where is Vine? That's why Vine went away.
Vine was a little where you can put little mini
six second videos. Okay. Yeah.
And it was popping. Everybody was scrolling, looking at it. Chris D'Elia was on there. Everybody scrolling.
A lot of people, yeah. Mm.
But they weren't paying people. So.
And TikTok was Musical.ly originally. It was Musical.ly, yes.
And even that dancer guy that Mickey likes, babe, that Stefanina, whatever, he just did a little commercial too for TikTok where he got his dad to do the dance with him. And so it was like, follow me on TikTok.
You damn right they paid him because YouTube's paying him. Every tutorial he puts up, I'm sure, is getting because people searching for dance tutorials. So yeah, TikTok, get your shit together. I'm not finna be TikToking.
Next thing you know, we're gonna see Ching on TikTok. Okay, well, he was TikTok.
And you know what that means? You know what that means? If you see me on TikTok doing a don't. What does that mean? That means the bank account say
Ching. You know what? Where y'all are fixing to go? Y'all should maybe just for shits and giggles start a TikTok and then do some TikToks of the thing you're about to go rehearse for the video.
So I honestly. Disclaimer. One of the reasons I'm not on TikTok, I don't know how to use it. I really don't know what it's about.
He's a comedian, guys.
No, I really don't. I really like I'm open to what you're suggesting, but I honestly don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know how it works.
Maybe from what I used to see Mickey do, because I did a few of them with her.
Yeah.
Because I guess you need someone.
I have a TikTok. Matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Mickey post like one or two things, but it's like, I don't have time to update this shit.
So it's like, so you can like grab someone else who does like, I don't want to go outside right now. So you're like doing the faces. You're like,
there's like voices.
Like voices that you can like act to what they're saying and like, you know, do stuff like that.
You could do that, but now it's just like, it's like Vine 2.0. You just make short videos about whatever.
Really?
That's when it was Musical.ly, it was like lip syncing and it was like very specific.
Right.
The platform now it's just like short form videos.
Or I could do a behind the scenes of what we're going to go. I have to go dance after this, y'all. Shout out to Heavyweight Music. They're going to choreograph something for a new single I'm putting out, which we're shooting a music video, which costs money.
Which is going to go on Patreon.
Which is going to everything now. Which is going to go on YouTube, and we'll just fucking cross our fingers and be like, well, fuck. Sorry, babe. We went and spent a bunch of money.
Tapping.
We spent a bunch of money on this video, but shit, hopefully somebody buys a shirt.
I try to be optimistic here, so I'm trying just to think that everything that we do moving forward is going to be monetized in one way or the other.
Or it's
going
to make sense.
We put it out in the universe, right? That's just kind of how I feel. And I've already put out in the universe what I want to do, you know, what I want to happen. And I'm just waiting for it just to come back.
I mean,
whatever you want guys to do, put it out in the universe so that it happens. And now he's going to come back and kill it.
No, I'm not. No, I'm saying is thankfully we're doing well. That's why we give away so much free stuff.
Yeah.
That's why we're not tripping. That's why we're just like, what do you need? A prop? You want a couch? You want this? Fuck it. I'm going to make beats. Have some tight ass vlog beats. Like, let's build a studio. Let's do whatever we want because we're blessed. And, you know, the fans show love and they're loyal and the shows are sold out. But back to the TikTok. Why help? It's just me sounding militant. Like, why help TikTok? It's already a thing without me. I don't think they're going to miss me. Like, fuck. Like, why help TikTok make them money? And they're not kicking, to my knowledge, they're not helping out the content creator. When I can maybe format that behind the scenes or something and find a way to put that on maybe YouTube, and then maybe it can monetize. You get a couple ads and get some little, you know, get some of your money back. So you can keep paying people and making stuff, and, you know, shit costs money. You don't just wake up one day and be like, yeah, we're going to make a movie, dog. We just had a meeting a minute ago about a show that is going to go on Amazon, and I'm going to be a part of it. It's not a show. It's more like a episode, like a pilot. But they're spending $30,000 minimum on this thing.
Just
independent.
Just a pilot?
Just for one 23-minute episode. It's basically, I'm not going to give it away, but you're going to have comedians like a Slade Ham, who's been on the podcast, Sam Damares, who's been on the podcast, and they're going to do some of their story jokes, but it's all acted out, sketched. I saw a couple examples. It's hilarious. It looks amazing. I'm going to tell one of my stories on there. They're going to act it out, but you need extras. And I'm not the one paying for this, but you need extras. You got to pay your lighting guys, and they do everything legit. It's not a little dude with a camera. It's like big cameras,
big time production,
big dudes, big lights. You know, you can't have little dudes holding big lights. Renting shit, hiring shit. Like, they got to get a whole Airbnb so it can look like where it's the birth story, where Marisol gave birth to Penny in the house. So it's just to give you an example. Oh man, you should make one of those. Okay, like I said, they cost $30,000 to make.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that earlier. Like, you were talking about the script and the web series. Just ballpark, since you've been in the biz so much, what do you think an average content creator out there would spend on those type of projects?
Well, I'll give you an example. Let's say we have a 10-page script, right? That should average to about a 10-minute episode, a webisode. We'll call it a web episode. Okay. If you want to do it, see, the problem is we don't want to keep doing shit half-assed. We don't want to keep doing shit janky. The reason sometimes stuff is kind of half-assed and a little bit janky is because it costs $5,000 a day for your crew to film your project. That's if you want to do it right.
Babe, and a $5,000 for a crew that's willing to work, because sometimes it could be more than $5,000.
So let's just say on average.
That's probably on the lower end, right, babe? Like for a good production.
I'm just
going to
say, I'm just going to call it standard.
Okay.
Sure.
If you want to, in the city of Houston, if you want to hire a good production crew, let's say you have the 10-page script, Javi wrote it, it's hilarious, I'm in it, a lot of our comedian friends are in it, it's hilarious. Let's say we're just going to shoot one day today, pretend. We're going to shoot some scenes in 2-3 different locations. All right, well, you're going to have to cough up. It's going to be about 10 people on that crew. Some people on that crew, it's going to range from $600 a day to like $300 a day, depending on whether it's an audio guy or lighting guy or director of photography or producer, whatever it is. On average, those 10 people, let's just say it comes out to about 5 G's a day. Now, if you're lucky enough to be able to get your short film shot in the one day and you pay everybody your $5,000, now you got to figure out how you're going to make your $5,000 back. And that's the reason why we ain't dropping a whole bunch of web series all day, because, I mean, from the kindness of our heart, we're artists. We would love to. I would love to. I'd be proud of that work. Not only you know, the catering was off the chain and all my friends were in it and it was lit and the shit was funny. And then I don't know if that doesn't factor in post-production. That doesn't factor in editing. I don't know if that factors in catering.
Color correcting.
You gotta feed
sound.
People. Even basics, like, let's just pretend that's just the crew. That's not the actors.
Right.
Let's say you work a deal with your actors. Like, hey, bro, man, how about I give you $50 gas to come down and then $100 a day and we'll feed you. We'll have lunch and stuff. So now you got to run, get Subway or something for
and
everybody.
The hotel.
And a hotel. So the 5 G's ain't really what it's going to cost. That doesn't factor in props. That doesn't factor in. I don't think that counts like a makeup person or a wardrobe.
No.
I don't think it factors in a wardrobe.
That's strictly camera, lights,
that's just like
sound, all the stuff that comes
with a big light truck.
Lights, yeah.
A big truck full of lights. So as you can see, things can get expensive. That doesn't mean that's the only way to make stuff. You can make stuff a lot cheaper, but now motherfuckers can get judgy. Now it's like, oh man, would you shoot that with, dog, a potato? Ah, dog.
What the
hell? What people say. He shot it with a potato. Like when your camera phone is like a cricket phone, and it's like, damn, shot it with the hell with a potato.
With a razor.
I mean, something. So obviously that's not the only way to create content. You know, you can use
but that's premium content. That's what you're talking about.
But you know, if you want the good shit, I don't remember what, I'd have to ask Jesus from Desmadre.com how much it cost. Now I'm gonna give you an example. I don't know what all we spent to make Masa and the Power, but for season 2, I forget how many episodes it is. Shout out to the fans through Kickstarter. I think it was like $30,000 to $33,000. But it was several episodes, and it lives on YouTube. I believe it lives on Desmadre.com, and, you know, it's like, well, it's dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's why it just goes back to, are you going to be on TikTok all day for your health? Or are you going to try to figure out this YouTube? You know what I'm saying? And not get kicked off, not be posting shit that's not going to bring in nothing. Like, don't just be posting a song with a picture. Because, I mean, we got little songs and stuff getting made here and there. Don't just put them up with a picture.
Yeah.
It's going to dilute your channel. You fuck up your engagement. Now you back to TikToking. Mm-hmm. So it was like, damn, it's a lot of math in this episode. It's money. And but thankfully, we're blessed. Going viral 2020, the tour. We kick it off in Salt Lake City. You know, we're still going to make stuff regardless because I'm a creator. I'm an artist. And it's what I love to do. We're still going to make fire beats for the vlogs. beats for vlogs. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do.
So if you want to buy a beat for your vlog.
You know what I'm saying? If you're a vlogger. And
please
you need
reach
beats,
me at Marisol at ChingoBlingDuck.
And if you ain't got the full budget, it's going to have the watermark. It's going to be like Chingo Vlog Beats.
Every 5 seconds.
Chingo Vlog Beats. Every 2 seconds.
That
kind
of sounds good.
Chingo Vlog Beats. Hey, my boy Eric, he's gonna sample Fat Joe being like, Chingo don't play.
I love
Chingo
that.
About that life. Chingo get down. No, he's like, Chingo bling get down. So that's it. Gonna be the beat.
Ooh. That's the intro.
It's
of the
gonna
podcast,
be like in a hook or something. I don't know what Eric is cooking up.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, if you want to join the Patreon, you know, we could cook up a lot more.
There you go.
But
facts.
You know what I'm saying?
And tell them where they can go check out the Patreon.
ChingoBling.com/Patreon PATREON.
Or just ChingoBling.com
and then click Patreon.
That's it.
And there you go.
Shout out to the Whiskey Brothers and Slade Ham. Slade was schooling us about Patreon like early in the early beginning of 2019, and we were just kind of asking, trying to figure it out. I spoke to Andrew Schultz. He has one. I don't know how hands-on he is and how aggressive they are, because he also has like 2-3 other podcasts and a fucking world tour and Netflix specials and stuff. I don't know how, you know, how dependent he is on motherfucking Patreon. But you know what? Slade Ham and them, you see that bottle, that whiskey, you probably don't see it in the camera, but there's a whiskey bottle up there that he brought us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pay thing, what do you call it? A tier. On their Patreon where like you're buying us a bottle of whiskey. You're buying the crew a bottle of whiskey for the month or whatever. Like there's like really cool. Creative. Yeah, there's some creative shit on there. Like, really you get to attend like special events. I mean, it becomes more work though, I think, when you start. I don't know how that works.
But yeah, like, there's more logistics to it, but what it comes down to is that it's just another way for the fan to get closer to the creator.
And we just picked up some new Chingo Bling shirts that we have. Maybe that's something.
Are those going online? Maybe we're taking those just on tour. Have you decided what you want
to
do with those?
I think we should try to do a sales funnel.
Okay.
I think we should be creative and, you know, maybe take them on the road. But it's just about, like I said earlier, like the fans, you know, I feel like they want to help more. You just have to set things up for them so that they can help more. You know, like I was saying about this podcast, if you're really about that podcast life and you want to watch it, maybe it's not best that it's on YouTube. Maybe it's just on my website.
So I decided just to do a poll on my social media on Instagram just to see how many people actually listen, right? And
so based on the algorithm of what they wanted you...
So check this out. I posted my coffee in the mic and all I said was podcasting and coffee. Are you a listener of the what did he said podcast? 65% so far said yes. 35% said no.
I did a poll on the podcast page also, and just to ask, like, what would you prefer, stick to hanging with the blings or do Chingo solo? And it was like unanimous. People love hanging with the blings.
Okay, cool.
Like unanimous.
Considering we haven't given them any solo for them to compare.
I know.
But
so you may have to try.
Yeah, we'll see.
Would you do Chingo Bling solo or would you do Theo Juve solo or both?
That's for the patrons to decide. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all get to vote. If you're a patron, you can vote and tell me what to do. You become, like, for real, the boss.
You become the producer.
I mean, the fans are the boss, but, like, you for real become the boss. I ain't got to listen to what YouTube says or what TikTok says.
Right.
Because there is no, basically, like, nothing on Patreon, right, that, like, says, oh, this can't be... I'm sure they have some rules, right, but there's
The only rule is, if it's adult, they'll, like, they'll let it know.
Well, even, like, those sex girls that show videos on there, you know?
They're on Patreon?
They're on Patreon, yeah.
I'll know. What's the name? I'm joking.
I told you about that girl that I didn't know. She was one of my models.
Okay.
Oh, holla.
Say less.
Yeah.
Say more.
So if you're in defeat,
that's a huge.
I got this
weird
one
fetish.
Bad toenail. If that's your fetish, I'm gonna put that on Patreon. Like I'll send you a piece of the nail.
What's funny is that shit stays. You know, things stay blurred until you unlock that tier. But depending on how you sign up, so it's like it makes you really want to like. All right, I want to sign up because I want to see what's behind that.
Wait. What do you mean? What stays blurred?
Like on your Patreon page, uh-huh. Like if you're not a member, you don't see the things behind.
So like
posts.
Let's just
things.
Say pretend bonus episode or solo podcast.
Yeah,
it'd be blurred.
Yeah, it's just blurred with a lock on it, like unlocked by becoming a patron. Audio, video, all kinds of things. Live chats. You can actually do the live chat within Patreon. Yeah.
Live chats within Patreon. Well, Patreon's exciting. That's one thing to look into. I mean, to look forward to. It's already active. We just launched it. So really, it's going to be molded based on what you want. So it really, I like the idea of like people being like votes or voters, like chingocrats, mm-hmm. like to have a lot of say, because some people are like, we need more music. We need more music. Where the music at? Where the music at? Okay, well, all right. You want me to go get studio time right now? Then I got, you know, get the beat. I'm not complaining about money, make it sound like I'm hurting and shit, but it's like time. Okay. You want me to go wreck this mic? You know, it's like, oh, I'll give you the album. Like, if you, you know what I'm saying? I'll give it to you. Like, if that's what you want and you're a patron, you're my boss, we'll whip it up. But right now we're podcasting because we're trying to figure out if this is what y'all want. Or later on, we might be doing another thing because we're trying to figure out if that's what you want. Then I'm going to shoot a music video trying to see if that's what you want. So help us help you.
Because you could be dropping it low with Penny otherwise.
Hey, yay! I can drop it low with Penny.
Go ahead, Penny.
Woo, woo. Sola, sola.
No more
Isn't
reggaeton.
She hilarious?
No more reggaeton.
Oh, shit.
At Real Chingo Boy.
Hasta el suelo. You heard Lisa?
That's too much.
She's going to be the only toddler with like bad knees and shit because she needs to stretch first.
Or the strongest quads of any kid.
No more reggaeton.
Hey. Check it out at Real Chingo Boy Instagram.
Applaud it.
This is the part of the beat I like. This might be the beat for going viral.
Applaud it. Hey. Hey. Con la manita.
Going viral. Going viral.
Why is she putting her hand
going
on her
viral.
Knees,
ah, going viral.
That's too much.
Shout out to Eric.
My little baby is so adorable, is she not?
She is.
Cutie pie.
All right.
Cool. All right, guys.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in.
A lot of information to unpack.
Good
on
overview.
That
2020 overview right here.
And just a friendly reminder, I will be having a podcast pretty soon, so stay tuned for that release.
We're looking at her set right back there. There's a whole bunch of pink. There's like a T-1000, a mannequin in drag over there. If the Terminator wanted to like blend in like at a transgender club, that's it right there. But yeah, kicking off the new year. And so we're just keeping y'all informed and just sharing and just being transparent with what we have on our mind and where we're trying to take it this year. Because anybody listening, you don't. Unless you had a great 2019, you probably don't want 2020 to be a repeat.
Right.
You know, because we're trying to evolve. We're trying to
grow as people. Or even if you had a good 2019, you want it to be 2020 even better. So.
Yeah, we're trying to evolve and grow as people. I know as y'all are. And we're just trying to like, you know, live more fulfilled lives and you know, tweak the schedule and create dope shit. So we hope everybody had a great, happy new year. Let's start 2020 off right. Next time, maybe we'll talk about systems versus goals or something.
Totally.
And if you go to Marisol's YouTube, she might have you like some New Year's resolution tips and tricks. And I know she's doing a video about recovery where she's going to show you maybe some CBD gummies and some massage techniques.
Okay.
Just all kind of cool shit. But we need the feedback. So thank y'all for listening. Drop us a line. Drop us a comment. Let us know you're listening. Tell a friend. And we will see you at a show in a city near you. Going viral 2020.
Chingobling.com.
Se cuidan. Gracias.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.